Thanks for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour. This summer, imagine you call up a friend and say, "Meet me at the bar and tell me what's going on with the economy." Now imagine that's actually a fun conversation. Now stop imagining and subscribe to the Planet Money podcast. Find Planet Money on iTunes along with other NPR podcasts. Hello and welcome to Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes. I'm here in the studio with Stephen Thompson. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Linda.
We were here last week with the first half of our live show that we taped celebrating our 200th episode. And this
is actually our 200th episode. I'm still picking confetti out of my hair.
This is our 200th episode.
Can you believe that?
I cannot believe it. It is wonderful.
Wow.
This is the half of the show where there are some goofy quizzes, lots and lots of special guests. And we should point out, we thought we might make use of a bell.
Yeah, boy, I don't know.
And so we wound up with a bell on the table in front of Stephen.
Yeah.
So if you hear a random bell being rung that seems to have nothing to do with anything, here's the secret. It has nothing to do with anything.
If you hear right before that bell the sound, durr, that's usually me.
It's because of Stephen. So, and we have some other news as well, don't we? We are going to New York.
We are.
We are having another live show. This one will be in New York. It will be on August 19th. That's a Tuesday. Tuesday, August 19th, that evening at the Bell House, which is the same place that they do Ask Me Another and many other wonderful things.
And that is in Brooklyn.
That is in Brooklyn at the Bell House. And tickets for that will go on sale July 28th at noon Eastern. And you can find the link to the tickets at popculturetickets.org. That's popculturetickets.org.
We might have mentioned once or twice that the last show sold out in less than 2 minutes.
That's right.
So I would kind of hover over that mouth. That's, I mean, I don't want to say that this show is going to sell out into New York. It's a jaded crowd.
But if it's true, they have a lot of things to do.
They have other things to do.
They have things to do besides museums, which is what we have here.
Yeah.
But if you want tickets, you know, we would encourage you not to sleep too much on that URL because you never know. And that'll be a great show. We've got some stuff that we're really excited about. I think we can tell the people.
Special guests. Who's our fourth panelist, Linda?
Our fourth panelist for this episode is our adored, original producer emeritus and music director, Mike Katz. We're so excited about that. Also, we are bringing in some NPR ringers.
Yes, we will have Ophira Eisenberg and Jonathan Colton from the wonderful NPR quiz show, Ask Me Another.
And so they're going to be with us as well. We're very, very excited.
Love Ask Me Another.
This is super fun for us. We're really excited. We hope that you will show up and have a great time. And like I said, like we said, you know, just be prompt on the link if you want to get a ticket.
They go on sale again July 28th, noon Eastern time.
That's right. Popculturetickets.org.
And of course, one more reminder, if you are going to the San Diego Comic-Con, we will have a panel discussion, a special Pop Culture Happy Hour panel discussion on July 24th from 2 to 3 p.m. Check your San Diego Comic-Con program for listing information.
And if you're not going, you know, if you follow us on Twitter, you'll be able to find out. I think we're going to try to have a meetup or something as well while we're out there.
Yeah, we look forward to engaging with everyone as much as possible. Speaking of engaging with everyone as much as possible, here is the second half of our live show.
This is our quiz segment. So before we get started with the main part of our quiz, we were all ready to go with our special guests and everything. And then Glenn brought something to my attention that he wants to deal with.
Some of you may remember the Battle of Wills that was the Bat Quiz. We had three fierce combatants, two fierce combatants and Thompson, locked in a pitched battle for nothing really, just bragging rights, I guess. Nothing didn't really mean anything.
Don't make that sound small.
But at a certain point, Audie Cornish had to answer a question correctly to advance to the tie-breaking lightning round. She was asked what time my book, The Caped Crusade, from Simon & Schuster, will be coming out, and she rightly said spring 2015. Funny story. My editor reached out to me, said, "Why are you telling people that? We don't know when the book's coming out because you haven't turned it in yet." So while, Audie, your victory was stirring and you are still glowing from it, I'm afraid The facts on the ground changed. There are known knowns, there are unknown knowns, and we have to put an asterisk next to your win. Aww. There is only one way for you to remove it, and that's with a quiz. Linda? Audie?
I told Glenn I would go along with this.
This is not another bat quiz, because same river twice. You can't do it. It's not a super quiz, because I'm kind of over it. It's not an aqua quiz, as some people ask. No, this is a different quiz of a different hero who is celebrating an anniversary in 2016. What hero, you may ask? Or not. a hero who fights in her satin tights for your rights and the old red, white, and blue. She can stop a bullet cold, make the Axis fold, change their minds, because again, as we've learned, it's just about talking to Nazis, really. Just putting on a pot of coffee and going, state-sponsored genocide. This is, of course...
What happened to rolling up to the club?
I know. First of all, I want to say I resent this because I have an asterisk because of you, not Batman. I got my Batman questions correct.
The facts changed.
Yeah.
The facts as we knew them. You were right at the time.
They say. Okay.
All right.
Let's do this.
There are three questions each about, of course, the amazing Amazon Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Audie Cornish, defending champion, we're going to start with you.
I know nothing about Wonder Woman. I mean nothing.
Audie Cornish, as recounted in 1942's Wonder Woman number one, the story of Princess Diana, who of course became Wonder Woman, Princess Diana's birth bears a striking similarity to what other famous origin story? Was it A, Moses, B, Batman, C, Gumby, D, the Toxic Avenger? See, I've shortened it, Linda Holmes. Shortened.
I appreciate
just
that.
Five questions.
I appreciate that. We got
Gumby had an origin story.
Moses, Batman, Gumby, the Toxic Avenger.
And what year was this?
1942.
Stalling.
Moses?
I'm afraid the answer was Gumby. Gumby. Like Gumby, she was once a little green slab of clay. She was actually molded from clay. The princess, the queen of Paradise Island, molded a baby out of clay, loved it so much that the god smiled upon her and bestowed life upon it.
Oh my God, did a man write this?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, give me a question.
Linda Holmes, Wonder Woman has had many go-to catchphrases over the years. Which of these was not among them? She never said this. A, Great Hera. B, Mighty Aphrodite. C, Merciful Minerva. D, Suffering Sappho. Great Hera, Mighty Aphrodite, Merciful Minerva, Suffering Sappho.
I will say Minerva.
I'm afraid the answer is Mighty Aphrodite. She never said Mighty Aphrodite. She has been heard to say Vicky Cristina Barcelona. And... Everyone says, I love you.
Yeah. Next question.
Further proving she was created by a man.
Yeah. Audie, in the 1960s, Diana gave up her powers and began training under a wise Chinese martial arts master. What was the name of this cringeworthy Asian stereotype?
Page and code switch. We need help in Studio One.
Oh, wait. Was it A, Egg Fu, B, I Ching, C, Sun Tzu, or D, Calgon, the ancient Chinese secret? Want to begin?
No. I do not. The last one?
Calgon, the ancient Chinese secret. No. Turns out, no. It was I Ching. Uh-huh. Egg Foo, interestingly,
please.
To me.
Yeah. What is going to be interesting about the myriad of, like, offensive names?
Egg Foo was a villain that she fought, a giant, sentient Chinese egg with a long Fu Manchu mustache that would just whack at people. It was a different time. Linda Holmes, in the second episode of her 1970 CBS television series Wonder Woman tangled with her opposite number, the Nazi Wonder Woman. What was the name of the Nazi Wonder Woman? Was it A, Gretel, the Nazi Wonder Woman? B, Eva, the Nazi Wonder Woman? D, Fausta, the Nazi Wonder Woman? Or D, Frau Blücher, the Nazi Wonder Woman?
This is not better than the Asian names, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to read that last name again, Frau Blücher.
No, it's definitely not the horse lady. I will say Greta.
Gretel is what you're saying?
Gretel.
Fausta, the Nazi Wonder Woman. Okay, we might have to go to the tiebreaker. 2-0. Two more questions, two more chances.
Is this a setback for feminism? Like, Linda and I, everybody's been pining for a Wonder Woman movie, and we're like, oh, sure.
I don't think it's a setback.
On the television series, Diana Prince changed into her Wonder Woman outfit by spinning in place. But by spinning again, she could change into additional star-spangled outfits as well. Which of the following was not among them? Never changed into this over the course of the entire series. A, a diving outfit. B, a motocross outfit. C, a skateboarding outfit. D, a wonder caftan. Matching turban and, for after six.
Yeah, maybe.
Day to night.
Maybe the skating? Doesn't sound like something.
That's your answer?
Wonder Woman would do.
Skateboarding outfit?
Yeah.
I'm afraid it was the Wonder Caftan, which is a shame because it would have been awesome.
That's like the one thing she should wear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really. Think about it. That's
useful.
What I'll be going home to.
Fresh. Yeah. Fun. Okay, Linda Holmes, you need to get this answer correct. Until 1987, the Wonder Woman could breathe underwater and in space. Then they changed her origin, changed her powers, but until 87, she could breathe in space and underwater. But the reason for this was A, Poseidon gave all Amazons space gills. B, her earrings were magical. D, her tiara functioned as a space helmet. Or D, didn't need to breathe, bitch made of clay.
I'm going to take C, which you said was D.
Oh, sorry.
Which is the helmet.
Her tiara functioned as a space helmet. I'm sorry, it's that her earrings were magical. All right, so score check, zip, zip.
It sounds like I'm defending champion is what it sounds like. That's my takeaway.
By applause, who wants to declare Audie the defending champion? Who wants to move on? Well, I'll give you two choices. That's the way that works. Who wants to declare Audie the defending champion? Who wants to move on to a tie-breaking lightning round? So, Audie is the champion. Score-breaking lightning round. This is simpler than the last
one. I am so good at lightning rounds. Sorry, friend's joke. For those of you who are old like me.
Linda Holmes, really basic. This is going to be, except instead of just naming the villains, name allies. Name anybody that she knows. Back and forth.
That Wonder Woman knows?
3 seconds each of Wonder Woman. Allies or foes of Wonder Woman. Linda Holmes, go. Audie Cornish, you are the winner.
It's okay. I only had one on my list. I would have just said Nazis.
It's tough but fair. Thank you, Audie Cornish. All right. Well, we do have other quizzes to get to. I'm going to invite a couple of our favorite people who come from our favorite, alliances that we have on the show. Last time we were here, we had Gina Kat from Code Switch. Kat, unaccountably, is in Alaska right now. But we do have with us from Code Switch, Gene Demby. And in trying to find someone who was capable of taking on Gene Demby, we needed to call upon one of our other closest alliances.
someone who has only slightly been on the show, but is well known to many of you who move in our circles, our favorite Uber librarian and superfan, Margaret H. Willison. And we're also, we're going to bring a little phone a friend on with Stephen and Glenn, just in case, for this wonderful quiz, about the book, I Didn't Come Here to Make Friends, Confessions of a Reality Show Villain, written by Courtney Robertson, who, quote unquote, won The Bachelor Ben season of The Bachelor. These questions will all be about her wonderful book that she wrote about her experiences on The Bachelor. And I figured that since Margaret has been known to watch a little Bachelor, and Gene, I have to think, probably hasn't.
Probably not.
But Stephen has.
All phone a friend.
Now they have a phone a friend.
Yeah.
I would be no help. None.
But whatever.
Right, exactly. Team middle initial H is carrying the night.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. So we were going to start over here.
Okay.
Gene, which of these does Courtney say was the response of Bachelor Ben every time she texted him something sexy? Was it, who boy? Was it, yummy? Was it, beep beep? Or was it, sexy dexy? She writes in the book that every time she texted him something sexy, maybe a little picture, maybe a little flirty, he said the same thing to her, and it was hoo boy, yummy, beep beep, or sexy dexy.
See, and I can't help because Linda already told me the answer to this one.
Yeah, you're a smooth guy, Gene. Just think of the opposite thing from what you would do.
Yeah.
Yummy sounds douchey and plausible.
Yep.
So
that'd be my pick.
I would say B.
Actually, it is beep beep.
What?
What does that mean?
Can you leave?
Malfunctioning robot sounds.
I'm not in the Bachelor's head, Gene. All right. Margaret, we learn in the book about what reaction that one of Courtney's parents had to her decision to go on the show.
Oh my God.
Is it A, her mother hoped that she would get a talk show out of it? Is it B, her father called it a fine way to meet a fine man? Is it C, her mother vowed to disown her if she went on the show? Or is it D, her father responded to her initial choice not to do the show with an email titled, A Well-Made Decision?
I'm trying to remember Courtney's family on the show, and I do watch it. I'm sorry, everyone. And I feel like neither of them would have had the favorable second opinions, you know, the ones I would support as somebody who admires parents. Uh-huh. I am going to guess that her mom thought she would get a talk show.
The answer is her father responded to her initial choice not to do it by saying, a well-made decision.
Yep. Man, I'm sorry, Mr. Robertson.
She decided to do it. So presumably that was a different email.
00.
Gene, Courtney says, at one point she was having a conversation with Ben's mother during a difficult post-show period in their relationship. She claims that Ben's mother... She claims that Ben's mother said what by means of looking on the bright side? Is it, one, at least his grandmother isn't alive to see all this? Is it, I guess it could have been worse, he could have gone on Big Brother? Is it, I guess you should wait it out and sell the ring, you can split the money? Or is it, fortunately, neither of you will remember each other in a year?
Ooh, wow. Those are all amazing.
Tough but fair.
Yeah. I mean, D is true. But that does not mean it's right. Uh-huh. I'm going to say C.
Sell the ring and split the money?
Yes.
You are correct.
Yes.
So shortly after she tells that story, she says, I went back to Santa Monica with an awful taste in my mouth from both Ben's steak and his mother. And
yeah.
He made her a steak that was no good.
Oh my God.
Shortly thereafter, she gets really angry because while he is at the Sundance Film Festival, he does what? A, loses a hat she gave him and starts wearing a different hat. Is photographed doing a tequila shot off a ski instructor's belly. Ooh. Attends a film he had sworn they would later see together. Or calls the bachelor runner-up and asks whether she wants to attend a party at Mario Lopez's house.
Mario Lopez is the key detail that makes it better.
It makes it better, but does it make it truer?
I don't know.
Gosh.
I'm saying B. That's me.
I thought you were saying
but
A.
But the hell do I know?
I thought you were saying A, the
was, but then I heard B.
I feel like Ben was not slick enough to do shots off of anyone. And I am going to possibly lose to Gene and go with A. The hats.
You are right.
Yeah! Ah. What?
Can you just walk us through what you were thinking then? I'm curious.
Gene always wants to know why you picked your answer. That's my favorite thing.
Because Gene Ben is the worst, and that was the worst one I could pick.
Yep. Yep. All right, Gene, of her companions in the limo on the first night, this is on the way to meet the bachelor. They go in little groups in limo. And of the girls who were in the limo with her, she says, I was the only brunette and the only one not hammered yet. That's A. B, I was the only one not participating in what they called a love prayer. Oh, C, I was the only one who wasn't practicing what I was going to say when I met him. Or D, I was the only one wearing real jewelry.
Courtney is a terrible person.
Okay. She's on the bachelor.
She didn't come here to make friends.
But I mean, no, yeah, the book is called I Didn't Come Here to Make Friends. Now, Courtney is a terrible person in relation to other people on The Bachelor.
That's the trick, yeah.
So the bar has been set. Let's say that this is the lowest possible surface. Like, here's the bar she had to clear. Mm-hmm. I feel like whatever the most sort of petty, monstrous choice is, I feel like it's either love prayer or jewelry.
It's the jewelry, that's what I'm thinking.
That is the answer, that is.
That is the answer.
No.
What?
Gene,
no, the answer is I was the only brunette and the only one not hammered yet.
That's probably a lie. She was probably hammered.
I don't want to be right, mean. Margaret H. Willison. Once Ben and Courtney were trying to live as an engaged couple, which of the following was not one of the things that drove her crazy about him?
God, this is going to be hard.
Is it A, he changed the radio station without asking?
Of course he did.
Is it B, he didn't remember his dreams? Is it C, he wouldn't go to the movies with her? Or is it D, when they watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians, he made fun of Khloe, her favorite Kardashian?
Okay, I'm picking which one it wasn't.
You're picking which one it wasn't.
Which means it was three of those things.
Three of the four of those are on her list of things that drove her crazy about him.
All right,
it
my thoughts.
It is changing the radio station, didn't remember his dreams, wouldn't go to the movies, and made fun of Khloe Kardashian.
He's evidently, clearly one of those people who just flips through the radio constantly. Like, that's just, I know that about Ben. I can tell. Which is a terrible thing to do. Don't do that if you're in the car. Just pick a song and
Life
go
with
it. I am going to say B, he doesn't remember his dreams, because he seems to me like the kind of person who would both remember his dreams in tiresome detail and relate them in tiresome detail after the fact.
I like your thinking, but no. It is, in fact, the changing of the radio stations. Even though I agree with you that that sounds right.
So
what score did we wind up with here?
I'm not paying attention.
You have each had three questions. I think it's 1-1, so you tie. You're equally great. You're equally great. You're equally great, I should say. Equally great at this.
That is all.
And equally
I didn't want
great
this to come between us, so yeah. I'm happy with the outcome.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you very much, Gene Demby and Margaret Willison. So for our next quiz, we felt like it would be good to just let you meet some of the people who have guested on the show in the past, who you know and are very fond of. I would like to first welcome the All Things Considered movie critic Bob Mondello. Joining Bob on Team Tall Man, theater critic, movie writer, Monkey See contributor, and frequent Monkey See blockbuster consultant, Chris Klimek. Over on our other side, from NPR.org, various and sundry, the great and fine Tanya Ballard Brown. And from the NPR Books team and NPR Digital Arts, wearing quite a fantastic t-shirt, I'm sure she is about to let you see, Petra Mayer. So here's the way this quiz is going to work. You're familiar with the Internet Movie Database? You guys know the Internet Movie Database? When you look up a movie on IMDb, they have a bunch of plot keywords. Now, the plot keywords, some of them are important, some of them are not important, some of them are phrases, some of them are words. Just as an example, some of the keywords for Raiders of the Lost Ark include barefoot, thrown through a windshield, Amazon, part of trilogy, crushed to death, monkey corpse, Jack Daniels, frying pan, and divine retribution. So this is a quiz about summer movies and more specifically July 4th movies. So what we're going to do is I'm going to name for you a July 4th movie and five possible IMDb plot keywords, four of which are real and one of which I made up. And you have to figure out which one is made up.
I feel like Bob might have an unfair advantage here.
Yes. No, if it were actually knowledge-based, I might agree with you.
Actually, that doesn't follow at all.
I'm very excited by this little bell. It brings back my It's Academic Days.
It is not.
Indiana Jones is not a trilogy. There are four of them. So IMDb might be wrong.
Exactly. That's
so
the other thing.
There is an element of luck.
That's the other thing I want you to understand is they're not vetted for accuracy. They just come from the internet. So, Tanya and Petra, which of these is not a keyword found in the description of the biggest July 4th movie of 1993, The Firm? Reference to Julio Iglesias. Shot in the ear. Monorail. Running on a bridge. White teeth.
Shot in the ear. I haven't seen The Firm, Tanya. You gotta help me.
Reference to Julio Iglesias. Shot in the ear.
I saw The Firm in 1993.
It's like, that is not a movie I'm watching. Like,
what sounds right to you? Reference to Julio Iglesias. Shot in the ear. Monorail. Running on a bridge. White teeth.
I mean, Julio Iglesias, you know.
Vic, I'll go with you on this one, which means if we're wrong, I'm going to hate you forever.
No, Petra. Are we going with Bob?
It's too much pressure. I can't take it.
You got to pick one and commit.
I'll go with Julio Iglesias.
I'm sorry, that is really in the keywords. The correct answer is white teeth, which I made up.
Isn't Tom, what's his name, in The Firm? White teeth is not a keyword for a Tom Cruise movie.
It could have been, it just wasn't. All right, Bob and Chris, which of the following is not an IMDb plot keyword for Men in Black from 1997? Fainting, lemonade, rabbit's foot, ginger cat, New York Mets. Fainting, lemonade, rabbit's foot, ginger cat, New York Mets.
Fainting has to be, right?
Right, because they have the little amnesia generator.
Right, and they faint all the time. Rabbit's foot sounds like it's got to be in it. You guys have to understand, I see over 200 movies a year. This is 4,000 movies ago.
Less explaining, more answering.
Get on with it, boys.
All right, so we're going to go with Rabbit's Foot on this one.
That is correct.
Hey.
Petra and Tanya, which of these is not a keyword for Ghostbusters? 1984, sex with ghost, inflatable raft, cello, winded from climbing stairs, destiny.
Destiny.
That's back to the future. Inflatable raft.
Okay. Yeah, sure. What
correct.
She said.
You like me now?
Chris and Bob, War of the Worlds 2005. Which of these is not a real IMDb keyword? Reference to SpongeBob. critically acclaimed. Rat, earphones, laundry chute.
There's not a laundry chute.
You are right.
I can't take the stress anymore.
Transformers Dark of the Moon, 2011.
What is that?
Petra and Tanya. Well, it's a robot that turns into a car.
Gosh.
Which one is it?
Is this the one with the girl?
I don't know.
Car. Okay.
Transformers Dark of the Moon. Which of these is not a real IMDb
keyword? Is this where they were in the
desert? Shia LaBeouf sucks.
Oh, just relax into it, you know? It'll come to you. Thrown from a car. Body landing on a car. Kicked in the stomach. Bitten in the eye. Mother-son relationship. Thrown from a car, body landing on a car, kicked in the stomach, bitten in the eye, mother-son relationship.
Bitten in the eye, would you say? I don't know.
Bitten in the eye is correct.
Wonder Twin powers, activate.
So are we tied?
You are, and you have one left. So if you get this, you will be victorious. Superman Returns, 2006.
Glenn.
Oh, man.
Wig. Pomeranian dog. Pepperoni pizza. Bald man. Inhaler.
I'm going to say pepperoni pizza is not a keyword.
You are correct. Bob and Chris do very well in the movie quiz, which is a good thing because both of you work with movies. And imagine if you hadn't. But a valiant effort. A valiant effort from the wonderful Petra and Tanya. Thank you, Petra.
I'm unhappy Mayor. With this. This does I this don't mean, like this outcome.
Does this mean we don't get Glenn Weldon's voice on our answering machine? I was really hoping for that.
Thank you very much, Petra Mayer, Tanya Ballard-Brown, Bob Mazzello, and Chris Klimek. And now we are going to do a quiz with Stephen and Glenn, if they would like to return to the stage. Then we have one other piece of this quiz yet to go.
The other part of this quiz is you.
We are going to choose two of you who get to come up here and be on teams with Stephen and Glenn to attempt this final quiz.
Provided you do not look at us in our eyes. All we ask. Uh-huh. It's in our rider.
Uh-huh.
This looked like it was going to be a hard name to pronounce, so I was like, no. Cynthia Tassopoulos. Tassopoulos. That's harder than I thought.
Hello. How are you?
Nice Cynthia, you. Steven. Steven, Cynthia.
The next person I pick is my enemy. Because he or she will be paired up with Glenn Weldon. This. Do this. All right. Does that say Stephanie Troyer?
Yeah! It does.
Trash talk, trash talk, trash talk.
Yeah.
Ranker, I'm just, ranker, I'm just ranker.
Icy glare in the there direction of Stephanie Troyer.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. This is a quiz about summer television. Because I love quizzes about summer television. Steven and Cynthia, they're currently wrapping up the first season of Rewrapped, a Food Network show where people have to recreate real snack foods from scratch. Which of the following is not a real episode of Rewrapped? Is it Twinkie Twinkie Little Star? That makes two of us. Spaghetti OMG. All That Glitters Is Goldfish, or Fiddle Faddle Philosophy. Fiddle Faddle Philosophy, All That Glitters Is Goldfish, Spaghetti OMG, That Makes Two of Us.
You, which ones have you seen? This is amazing.
Goldfish and SpaghettiOs, so those are real.
Okay, I thought the twin... I would like to announce my resignation from Pop Culture Happy Hour. In favor of a more qualified participant.
So if you are knocking out the SpaghettiOs and the goldfish, that leaves you Twinkie Twinkie Little Star. That makes two of Utz and Fiddle Faddle Philosophy.
Which one is not?
Which one is not?
Utz, right?
What's Fiddle Faddle Philosophy?
Fiddle Faddle and Twinkies both sound very plausible.
Okay.
That makes two of Utz sounds like it came from Linda's brain.
Great. You would know better than I would. So
yeah, but you knew the actual names of two of the shows. That's crazy.
Go with Utz.
All right, Utz.
Yeah, Utz. So it's, no, it's actually, Utz is real. It is Fiddle Faddle Philosophy.
That's okay. That's okay.
I was.
She
the people
had
listening
it.
To the podcast can't see me hang my head in shame.
Yeah, it's true. Of the five shows that I'm about to rattle off, mm-hmm. four of them are new, but one of them, believe it or not, is entering its second season, which means it has already been on for an entire season, which surprised me, which is why I put it in this question. Is it Donut Showdown, American Muscle, Celebrity Damage Control, Bite This with Nadia G, or Steve Austin's Broken Skull Challenge?
All right, so
Donut Showdown, American Muscle, Celebrity Damage Control, Bite This with Nadia G, Steve Austin's Broken Skull Challenge.
We're guessing the one that's in the second season.
Yes.
Donut Showdown sounds like a thing I've heard before.
People love donuts.
It's true.
I love donuts. I think I support you on that.
Stephanie Speaks. Mm-hmm. Donut Showdown.
Donut Showdown. You got it. All right, back over here. VH1 has a new show this summer called what? Dating Amish. Dating Naked. Dating Alaska. Dating Medicine. Or Dating Dads. Dating Amish, Dating Naked, Dating Alaska, Dating Medicine, or Dating Dads?
We're going to go with Dating Amish.
It is actually Dating Naked.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, no.
Which to me, if you're dating naked...
See, it's good TV material.
Yeah, but it's also kind of like you're jumping ahead. I mean...
Yep.
Back over here, what... on Earth is the new show Skin Wars about? Is it a game show to find the country's greatest body painters? Is it a tattooing tournament? Is it about the highly competitive world of pelt dealing? Is it about a family dynasty of arm wrestlers? Or is it about guys who compete in a shirtless bowling league? Skin Wars.
Tattoo usually says ink. It would be an ink wars. Would be a tattoo.
I was inclined to go with anything related to tattoos.
We have reached an impasse. But the only thing I like, ink is what they say.
Yeah. No,
as opposed to.
I agree. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. No. tattoos.
It is the body painters.
Wow.
It is the body. This is such a sad thing when that happens, right? Because we've dragged other people into our quizzes.
Dragged you into my dumb.
All right, back over here. In the summer Hallmark movie, When Sparks Fly, the title is a wee bit of a pun. Why is that? Is it because, well, it's a more specific pun than that. Is it because the woman's name is Annie Sparks? Is it because the movie takes place in a town called Sparks, Georgia? Is it because the woman works for a pyrotechnics company? Is it because the man is a firefighter? Or is it because the couple bonds over a dog named Sparks?
Yeah,
they all sound like the great, don't they? Yeah. They all sound like great movies. I would watch any of those.
Yeah.
And I will.
Thinking firefighter? Or are you thinking... I don't think it's Sparks, Georgia, which means it's Sparks, Georgia.
Marshall on Mars.
I feel like it's not just like her name is Sparks. I feel like that's a little too flat.
What do you think? Fireworks was like
a
strong option.
Like pyrotechnics?
Option. Yeah. Sorry,
yeah, but
me,
would
pyrotechnics.
They? No, I'm just going according to the text. In the strict reading of the text, I mean, did they put pyrotechnics in a
too easy?
Like too well, just like too effects laden for Lifetime.
You choose this one because I did Amish last time.
All right, I'm gonna go and be wrong, and I'm going to say firefighter.
It is the pyrotechnics.
So you can't.
great. All right, back over here for the final question of the quiz.
Which is completely irrelevant because they've already won.
Well, she's winning. Which network has a new show out this summer called Sex in the Wild? Sex in the Wild. Is it Esquire? Animal Planet? Discovery? MTV? Or PBS? Sex in the Wild. Esquire, Animal Planet, Discovery, MTV, PBS.
Animal Planet and Discovery, they're just like, it's two on the nose, right?
Perhaps.
Okay. Okay.
I would think that Animal Planet and MTV might be two on the nose. I would probably go Discovery.
All right, then.
No,
say it loud and proud. Let's do it.
Okay, Discovery.
It's PBS. That brings us to the end of our quiz. Thank you so much, you guys. You guys are great. You guys are great. You guys are fantastic. Oh, boy. Well, that brings us to the end of our quiz segment. You want to take, like, two quick questions if we can?
Three if they're boring.
Yeah. We'll take a couple of very, very quick ones if you can get up very, very quickly.
Annabelle!
Jump up here.
Yep, jump up here.
You can have the mic by Steven.
I'm still on the school schedule, so I have to read a fiction book and a nonfiction book over the summer. Do you guys have any recommendations?
Margaret.
Yeah, we should get Margaret Willison up here.
What do you like, Annabelle? Talk to me.
What was the last book you read and liked?
I read Counting by Sevens.
It's a good book. Nicely done. Boy, have you read a book called Half Magic by Edward Eger?
No.
I think it's one of the best books ever, and I would highly recommend that for your fiction book. I'd say for nonfiction, just meet me outside after the show, and we can have like a head-to-head. Is that a thing? Is that a thing that people say?
No. Anyways, so you can have a chat. Margaret will be your consultant. And if you run out of time, we'll put you in touch with
Margaret. And if you are not satisfied, you can get in touch with me and we can work this out.
Yep. Okay.
Ironclad guarantee.
Thank you, Annabelle. Good to see you.
How Glenn got through that without plugging one of his damn books is beyond me.
Newly.
All right, let's take another one. Thank you. Hi.
I just moved this past weekend in with my significant
other. Oh, congratulations.
And I was feeling very self-conscious about my shoeboxes full of theater programs until I found his gallon-sized sandwich bags full of movie ticket stubs.
This is a Thompson question.
Dating back to 1998 when he would have been seven. So I wondered what you guys thought about pop culture ephemera. Do you guys keep programs? Do you keep ticket stubs? Stuff to remind you of things that you can't rewatch or re-listen to?
Okay, first of all, if he was seven in 1998...
You will regret going down this road so hard. Or at least I will.
All right, no... No judging. That's fine. What I tend to do is accumulate large quantities of it and then regret accumulating large quantities of it and then suddenly, like, poof, I'm not sentimental anymore. And then the box that is full of band stickers, which I have a box, like, large box full of nothing but stickers of bands, I have pledged I'm going to get rid of it. I've not actually gotten rid of it. So, yes.
What is the end game here? Do you ever envision yourself like putting it all in a... what do you do with ticket stubs? In a scrapbook? Kids still have scrapbooks?
Do you ever go through them or are you just compulsively accumulating
them? Is it just kind of pick them up and go, ah.
He has these lofty goals of framing all of them.
Framing.
But the great thing was I started listening to Welcome to Night Vale and then I dug through all my old programs and found that I saw Joseph Fink in New York.
See, that'll kill you. That happens and once and you can't throw anything away.
Right? I was so validated by
No, seriously.
Intermittent reinforcement is your enemy.
Yep. It's true.
Hi. My wife and I have a continuing argument about this, and I'm guessing Stephen will have a stronger opinion upon this.
Stick together. You can do it.
Let me rephrase. Maybe Glenn will have a stronger opinion because he's still married. But when you are watching TV with someone or watching any event and they're doing something else, whether it is reading a book or quilting or playing on their phone, does it still count as watching something together?
No. Well, I'm sorry. Answer the question, putter around my house, McGillicuddy.
I don't sit still is sort of my thing. It depends somewhat. I don't mean to hedge. Like, it depends somewhat on what you're watching. I think the important thing is that you're together. I say yes. I say it still counts.
Doesn't count.
Yeah. Because certain scenes, as soon as they come on, you know what the point of that scene is, so you can check out and then come back in when something new happens. Yeah. So I say it still counts.
The important thing, the love.
Gross.
Terrible. Steven and I watch a lot of TV together, and we have this debate fairly frequently. But thank you so much for those questions. Those are awesome. We're happy to see all of you. Before we get going, we have some people that we wanted to thank. I think for us, you know, we really would want to thank our producer, Jessica Reedy, who is wonderful to us. And also our producer, Lauren McGaughey, who sometimes produces the show as well. At NPR, our friends at NPR and in programming, Eric Newsom, Izzy Smith, Anna Seebach, Alice Winkler, Kiana Fitzgerald, Rund Abdelfattah, Neil Tivalt, Andy Huther, Sarah Maher, I'm so sorry. I'm running out of the ability to say names. And also, of course, everybody who we brought up on stage, Audie Cornish, Gene Demby, Margaret Willison, Chris Klimek, Bob Mondello, Petra Mayer, and Tanya Ballard-Brown. And of course, oh my gosh, all of you, 200 times. 200 times you have indulged us and been so incredibly kind to us. And we actually have had a couple people tonight just say to us, like, you just have the most unbelievably nice people who listen to your show. And we brag about you all the time. And we try to be very insufferable about it. So please understand how grateful we are. You know, as I said, 200 times, very rewarding. We're really, really happy that we've been able to do it. Thank you for, you know, buying a ticket. Thank you for buying swag. Thank you for giving to your local station. This is super, super, it's a huge honor to me, and I love doing it, and we all love doing it.
Absolutely.
And best to you, and have a wonderful summer, and thank you so much for coming. Thanks for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour. This summer, imagine you call up a friend and say, meet me at the bar and tell me what's going on with the economy. Now imagine that's actually a fun conversation. Now stop imagining and subscribe to the Planet Money podcast. Find Planet Money on iTunes along with other NPR podcasts.